Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to take a bite out of the competition? Are you looking for ideas to make your business better? Welcome to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet.
Sponsored by Apple Capital Group.
At the core of every successful business, you'll find people making a difference. And with each episode of the Core Business Show, we talk with those people, examine those ideas, and explore the strategies that make them special. Now, the host of the Core Business Show, Tim Jacquet.
Well, good morning, and welcome to another episode of the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. I have the pleasure of having Dr. Shalette Stewart, who's with Stewart Consulting outside of Dallas in Frisco, Texas. She's going to talk about today her new book, Revelation in Business, Connecting Your Business Plan with God's Purpose and Plan for Your Life. If you have any questions, please feel free to call in at 347-324-3460. Again, 347-324-3460. Dr. Stewart, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Tim. It's a pleasure to be here with you and your listeners, and thank you so much for the opportunity to share with you.
I guess to begin with, talk about yourself, you know, where you're from, and kind of give us a story. How did you come to, from your beginnings, and to write this book?
Certainly. I'm originally from Dayton, Ohio. I actually went to college out west at UC Berkeley, and most of my professional life has been spent in leadership roles in corporate America, working for some wonderful companies, Tim, like Bell South, the Coca-Cola Company, and Hostess Brands. I got my master's degree from Clark Atlanta University, another great institution, and later got my doctorate degree in business with a specialty in marketing at Nova Southeastern University. So I've always enjoyed marketing and strategic planning, always enjoyed learning. But a funny thing happened, Tim. During my tenure with the Coca-Cola Company, I started feeling a yearning to write a book to help business leaders connect their profession with their purpose, their career with their calling. So what we do in business, we are anointed to do. We have passion for it. You know, I always say, Tim, we spend too much time at work not to enjoy it. So I ended up taking a two-year sabbatical and eventually resigning from the Coca-Cola Company and writing Revelations in Business, Connecting Your Business Plan with God's Purpose and Plan for Your Life. So that charted a new course for me. And now I'm the founder and principal of Stewart Consulting, LLC, which is a leadership development firm. And I'm pleased to announce that I'm also the Associate Director of Executive Education for Southern Methodist University in Dallas, Texas.
Wow, well, congratulations. I really marvel with all your credentials.
Thank you.
Especially getting a doctorate degree.
Thank you.
I guess, you know, we talk about, you know, I think we had a conversation yesterday, and we were talking about T.D. Jakes, who start with humble beginnings from the hills of West Virginia. And I've been there, so I know it is really hill country. You walk back in time. And his progress to come to his purpose. And, I mean, from a career of preaching in the national circuit, become an ordained bishop, which is a leader not only for a huge nonprofit organization, but a business leader for conferences and his own brand himself, and then coming to the Potter's House, which is this huge nonprofit organization, and he made movies. And he has a whole story, not only pastorally, not only business, but also a lot of experience with nonprofit leadership. And he talked about on New Year's Eve this year, he said, you know, he was felt to talk about purpose. He was felt to talk about your position. He was felt that he needed to talk about his passion. It was supposed to be just one talk that weekend for New Year's Eve until that Sunday, and it went on for really the month of January. Then this past week, he came in. Oprah was at the Potter's House a month ago. We didn't realize she was going to be taping something, so we just thought she was stopping by.
Yes.
And you see her, actually, her purpose is to interview him after the service. And then, you know, the story just appeared this weekend on her show.
Right. Then I had the pleasure of seeing that, too. It was an excellent interview, by the way.
Yeah. And then the next day, talk about life class for like 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So it's amazing of hearing his particular story and how he come from where he came from, and then talk about the passion, his passion, the purpose, and the provision and so forth. When you wrote this book, built up all your experience in academia, built through your experience with corporate America, and you felt that burning that in your heart that it is something more that mm-hmm. my purpose was here on Earth for. How did you discern that purpose? And your last day when you left Coca-Cola and you say, hey, I'm leaving, I'm going with my purpose, this is where I'm supposed to be.
Excellent question. In terms of how I discerned it, Tim, during my tenure with the Coca-Cola company, again, Coca-Cola is an excellent, just a phenomenal company, major corporation, wonderful opportunities. But for me personally, I found myself on what I talk about in the book is the vicious cycle. And it's essentially when you feel as if you are living below your potential. And even though I had these wonderful assignments with the company and opportunities to move laterally and to be promoted and even to explore international assignments, I still felt as if I was living below my potential, and I still felt that there was something more for me to do. And what I had to do in terms of an approach was to pray about that, to pray and ask God to unveil his plan for me. And when I felt that calling to start writing the book, I just immersed myself into it. And that's when I had the epiphany, Tim, as I sat there, you know, in my office with a number of colleagues, great compensation plan, stock options, company vehicle, I mean, you know, comfortable to the point that you could easily get complacent. I found that when I worked on my book, it was pure joy. That was the epiphany for me. It was spiritually fulfilling, Tim. It was intellectually challenging, like no other assignment that I had in all of the companies put together. So I knew that there was something to it. So for me, that discernment around there's something more for me to accomplish, there's greater work to be done, was unveiled through prayer and being obedient in terms of following the calling.
Wow. Were you scared?
Absolutely. I have to tell you, when all of this occurred, it was during a time when our country was in the worst, probably one of the worst economic situations that we had seen in over decades. I actually resigned in the end of 2007, and as we all know, the economy really took a hit around 2008. And so it was scary, quite frankly, for me to step out and resign from an excellent position to devote myself full-time to writing a book for 2 years was scary at times. But I have to tell you that each time I felt that fear, when I would go into prayer, the Lord would always confirm and reconfirm that I was exactly where he would have me to be during that season. And I have to share with you and your listeners that once you step out on faith, I always say when God gives you the vision, he also offers the provision. And he did with me. I ended up selling a house and downsizing for a couple years by building a townhouse. And then after that, I sold the townhouse and built a new house in Dallas. So again, there's nothing too hard for God. If we step out and be obedient to what he's called us to, he will divinely connect us with the resources and the individuals who are really angels to help facilitate his plan.
How did you know, Amy, and that revelation when it came to you? Because I know it was a scary feeling to you, and I know it started as a seed somewhere in that process. Did it start years ago, or it's just built and it built up and say, yeah, I'm going to step into this new chapter in my life?
I would say it did start years ago, Tim. I always say the key is to connect our business plan, our career plans with his. And so for so long, Tim, my plan was after I would being in an assignment for, say, 2 years with any company, I'd start to feel a little bit bored, a little bit antsy, and I'd crave more. I needed to be intellectually challenged. And so after a couple years, my plan in order to address that was to go back to school. I'd get a master's degree or get a doctorate degree or take a lateral move or try to pursue a promotional opportunity so that I could try to satisfy that void. And that could only be satisfied, it could only be addressed by walking in his plan for me. So I would say that for years, the way that I addressed that was by trying to follow my own plan, and that plan was going to school or getting another assignment with the company. And it got to the point where that would not address the issue. With Coca-Cola, I was one of 27 individuals selected throughout the company as part of what they call their bench strength program. So it was an accelerated executive development program. It was a wonderful program. But the epiphany for me came also when the next logical step for me was an international role. And at that point, I'd been working on the book on the weekends and taking my laptop to Starbucks and working on it and, you know, just really enjoying the process. But I was open to taking that international role, Tim, but in my heart, I wanted to take it because I thought that it might give me a little bit more time to work on my book. I said, you know, life is too short. I need to honor the calling. That's not fair to the company. It's not fair to me. And so I think it was a host of different situations and experiences that really pushed me forth in terms of walking in purpose and being more focused on his plan.
Wow. So when you talk about most business owners, even your Christian business owners, it's really hard to sit there. And I was talking to another individual. He was talking about 10 characteristics of successful Christian business leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And I think with a typical business person, you have all this noise in our head, all this
mm-hmm.
noise and chaos. You're trying to put out fires in the business.
Right.
And it's kind of hard to put the Christian in the business, to put the Christian person into the business because he has all these things that's distracting him and all these noise and things are attacking him.
Mm-hmm.
And how can, within your business plan, that you can take the little G to make it a big G in your business
mm-hmm.
of God, making it a Christian business. How can you do that in a business plan that people can accept?
I believe that if a person is a Christian, is a believer in God and Jesus Christ, then the foundation of any entrepreneurial venture, any career endeavor, should be ingrained, entrenched in biblical principles and values. If we are believers, then we are leaders. We are light in the marketplace and in the workplace. So in order to develop and sustain a business long-term in terms of really leaving a positive, lasting legacy, I'm of the perspective that we must make sure that the foundation of our business plans are entrenched in biblical principles and godly values. And that is essentially what I talk about in my book. The book goes through each stage of a conventional business plan, from your executive summary and your mission and vision statement to your situation analysis, marketing plan, operations plan, Tim, all the way down to your management and organization plan, financial plan, and exit strategy. So I take each element of a business plan and I provide practical tools, real-life examples. So we talk about some of the companies that are doing it well, like Chick-fil-A, Hobby Lobby, Frontier Airlines, Sony Pictures, the Ritz-Carlton. So real-life examples from business leaders and companies that are infusing their business operations and their plans with godly values, Tim. So we go through each stage of the business plan, and we also discuss and explore the very practical aspects. So you have practical information, insights on what is a situation analysis, what should be included in your situation analysis, what are examples of marketing strategies and marketing goals. So we go through the fundamentals, but then we also explore the spiritual side. How do you ensure as a business owner that your purpose is linked with your business? How do you ensure that your mission and vision as an individual, as a leader, as a Christian leader, is being complemented by the mission and vision of your company. So we discuss and explore the very practical, conventional aspects of strategic business planning, Tim, and also we explore the spiritual aspects. And I believe those two are key. And for so long, we as a society have really shied away from that. We tend to live our lives in silos. You know, there's church on Sunday and then work on Monday, and never the two shall meet. Well, because of that, we're seeing the issues on Wall Street now. You know, I always say what we're seeing on Wall Street, they're not financial issues. They're spiritual issues at the core because of lack of business ethics and integrity and character. And so that's what we explore in Revelations in Business.
Wow. You know, we go back 20 years ago from the greed of the 80s were a wonderful season for our country and within the world. And it brought us out, it really brought us into a new era of wealth. A lot of wealth was created during that time.
Right.
But then, as you say, people start to lose on Wall Street integrity and character because they would do everything for the dollar. Things didn't cost that much during that time, not like what it costs today.
Right.
But you can buy, you know, just 10 years ago in Texas, you can buy a brand-new track home, three-bedroom house with $69,000 at the turn of 2000. But greed propelled that, you know, 10 years later, and the house was an additional $50,000. Now it's back to what you can't build it for, $69,000, but you can build it for $90,000. But it's the character of greed that sticks itself in there. And as a business owner, you do get, you know, thinking about, oh, the greed. And back to that thing regarding passion, if you do it from your heart, you do it from what you really love, and you know you're fulfilling your purpose, the money will come regardless to sustain you. And if you keep doing your job the way you need to do it, like KFC did, the Colonel did, he did it with passion. And in college, his stories, it said that he went to franchises, and if they were not following his recipe to a T, like he's described in that recipe, he will kick the pan over, throw everything out, and he would just go insane because he was passionate regarding his chicken. And at the very result, everybody had the same flavor of chicken, the same process throughout the entire country, because he did get crazy on them with that. So taking that into account, how can a company, a business owner, small business owner, can not be blindsided over greed?
I address that topic in the chapter on the divine financial plan. And in that chapter, I explore the notion of, one, not just pursuing profitability. We as business owners must be concerned about profitability. But if you take it to a higher level, I encourage all business owners and operators to pursue prosperity. The Word of God focuses on prosperity, of which profitability is just one small example. But Tim, as you know, there's prosperity in terms of talented employees, loyal clients and customers, excellent strategic alliances. The point of Revelations in Business is to allow us to take our business endeavors and our ventures to a higher level of not only success, but more importantly, significance. So there's not that focus on greed, not that focus on pleasing Wall Street. Certainly, we have to be concerned about the stock market and the economics of our nation. But again, for those of us, particularly those of us who are believers, I would say if you are a believer, then you are a leader. So it's incumbent upon us to take business operations to a higher level of excellence. So I go into a great deal of detail around those issues and those challenges and the divine financial plan. I also discuss not having an in the red mindset versus an in the black mindset. You know, for so many of us, an in the red mindset, for example, is saying, oh, I hate my job. Well, an in the black mindset, a higher level mindset is, I am thankful to have a job, and now I must uncover my divine assignment on this job. And make sure that the team is being edified before you move on to your next season, your next business endeavor, your next opportunity to. so again, we balance the spiritual and the very practical elements of strategic business planning. And the great aspect, Tim, is that for those business owners out there who do not have a business plan, after reading Revelations in Business, they will know the key elements of a business plan, but more importantly, they will know one that is entrenched in godly principles. And for those business owners and operators who have a business plan, then Revelations in Business helps them take their plan to a higher level of success and significance.
Well, what we're going to do is take a short break real quick, and
okay.
I'm going to ask you, we're going to talk about business plans, what is really need to be in there when we compare it to your book. And also,
okay.
if you can just pick a passage that speaks to you that you know every business person should know, or something that you really feel passionate
sure.
about that you want to read. So
Absolutely.
We'll take a short break from our sponsor real quick, and we'll be back in a moment.
Thanks, Tim.
You're listening to The Core Business Show, sponsored by Apple Capital Group. Apple Capital Group in Jacksonville, Florida is a commercial lender that specializes in asset-based loans, equipment leasing and financing, invoice financing, commercial real estate loans, and asset-based financing in the U.S. and Canada. Apple Capital Group is a direct lender that lends on their private equity investment portfolio. 90% of most loans are decided within 2 hours, and vendor funding within 24 hours after documents are completed with a one-page application. No slow no's, just a quick decision and a fast yes. To get more information about lending from Apple Capital Group, call 866-611-7457. That's 866-611-7457 to speak with one of our loan specialists. Or visit us right now at applecapitalgroup.com. You're listening to The Core Business Show, sponsored by Apple Capital Group.
Again, it's Tim Jacquet again, Revelation in Business, connecting your business plan with God's purpose and plan for your life with Dr. Stewart. I guess go ahead and begin with, talk about the importance of this business plan, this living and breathing document like our Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of compare that, kind of tell us why we need to really have a business plan and what really needs to be in it.
I am so glad that you made that observation, Tim, and you and I chatted a little bit about this, I believe it was yesterday, but as you and I both know and several of your listeners, every year virtually the U.S. Small Business Administration reports that most small businesses fail within the first 5 years of operating. First 5 years of operations, they fail. And it's unacceptable. It's unacceptable for us as leaders, and that's unacceptable for our nation in terms of the overall economy. So if you're interested in positioning your business for success, one of the best ways of doing that is by developing a well-thought-out, solid, comprehensive business plan. Oftentimes it's referred to as a strategic plan or a strategic business plan. And it's critical. I actually did my doctoral research on the relationship between strategic planning and small business growth, and I actually found that those small businesses, those small firms with a business plan, the majority of them were growing, i.e. they were increasing in revenue, increasing in the number of employees, and the number of sites. So business planning is critical. In terms of the key elements of a comprehensive strategic business plan, and again, you'll get all of this in the book, but just as a high-level overview, typically the first section of your business plan is what's called the executive summary, and it just provides a brief overview of the entire plan, and typically it's no more than 1 or 2 pages long. The purpose of the executive summary is to provide an overview and to intrigue the reader to want to read on, to want to support your endeavor. The next element of your business plan is your mission and vision statement, and that's simply what you're doing in the business and where you're going. Typically, your mission statement is short-term. Your vision statement is long-term. It's aspirational. Next is your situation analysis. Some people call this the competitive assessment or the market assessment, but it's where you incorporate all of your marketing research, all of the data that really proves that you have a viable business concept. And for those of your listeners who are looking for outside funding, say from venture capitalists or even from financial institutions, this area is critical. So you want to make sure you have a very comprehensive situation analysis that builds the business case for your overall venture. The next element of your business plan is typically the marketing plan. And that's where you provide more details around what's typically referred to as the four P's. And we all know they're price, product, promotion, and place. What you're selling, what you're promoting, whether it's a product or service, and how you plan to promote it via advertising, media expenditures, public relations, and publicity elements. All of that is included in your marketing plan. Next is your operations plan. This is where you describe your business model, how you plan to go to market. And there are a myriad of ways, just depending on the type of business and the type of industry. But your operations plan typically takes the reader through how do you fulfill an order, even if it's for a service. That's included in your operations plan. And then next, you would proceed to the management and organization plan. And, Tim, typically that's the element of the business plan where you just describe the ownership, whether it's a sole proprietorship or an LLC or a corporation, and your number of employees. And you can even include information about outside consultants that you plan to contract if that helps in terms of efficiencies. And from there, we typically proceed to the financial plan. And that's how you plan to be not only profitable but prosperous in terms of the business. And, again, I highlight Sony Pictures because I think recently they've done a wonderful job of focusing not just on profitability, that's critical, but, again, prosperity in terms of how will you ensure that your employees are engaged. You know, so many studies have shown that happier employees are more productive. They perform more effectively, and that leads to bottom-line profitability. So I encourage all of my clients to not just have a financial plan, but have a prosperity plan. And then lastly is your exit strategy. That's where you include your intention around your business. For some of us, we start a business with the sole intent to sell it after 5 years, maybe an IPO. Others plan to keep it in the family and just pass it along generation to generation. So your exit plan or your exit strategy would clearly define your plans short-term and long-term in terms of the business. And all of these elements are the typical conventional aspects of a comprehensive business plan. And again, the readers get that in the book, and there are several excellent books on the market too around how to develop a very successful business plan and a comprehensive one.
Well, dealing with going back a second regarding the importance of an exit plan, a lot of people don't really think about that. We start a business, why would we give it away?
That's so true.
Do I really want to lead this to my my son or daughter and kind of take you, in one sense, our children, ideas are not our own.
Right.
So they have a different opinion, and do I really want to leave my child something that in my heart I know this is part of the legacy that we have done forever and a day, you know, through humanity. But the children think today is totally different. You have one child maybe really serious about it. Like, for example, I remember 25 years ago when I met John Johnson with Johnson Publishing.
Oh, yes, yeah.
And
pioneer.
It was one of my journalism teachers, and Chuck Smith, who introduced me to him because I went there to him with some summit for one day with school. And he met his daughter. His daughter would never, ever dreamed, and she was adopted, and, you know, they didn't have their own child. She was adopted, and she would never, ever cross her mind. She said this is going to be in her family until the day she loses her breath.
Right.
And it's going to pass beyond that. And, she was adamant. They raised her that way, and she had the honor and respect of having that legacy. Now, that's one generation. Now you talk about a generation of today.
Right.
Our children are so diverse today. You know, I had this person mention about a funeral home. His daughter is going to go. Now, this is third generation. She's going to continue with it. But if it left it up to his son, who is younger, his first words say, I'm going to sell this business and cash out and not worry about it and move forward. And he's been the longest. But it's the thing about that, as a business owner, you really have to think about how you're going to really exit. Nobody ever thinks about that, but someday you can't run this business anymore. Something can happen to you. So part of that process, that realization, it is a living entity to itself. How do you plan for that?
Right. That is so important. And you're absolutely right. I would say every situation is different. And that's why I encourage the readers to ensure, as they're reading Revelations in Business, I encourage them to think about what the ultimate legacy is that they would like to leave. Oftentimes, your purpose is connected with that.
Mm-hmm.
The business facilitates your purpose in so many ways. So every situation is different. For some individuals, they understand their purpose. And I go through clues in the book around how to determine your purpose, how to understand if you're in your assignment at work or with your entrepreneurial venture by design or by default, and how to uncover your areas of gifting. But every situation is different. There are some individuals who know without a doubt that their plan is simply to get the business up and running and sell it. And they're fine with that because those are individuals who want to move on to the next big thing. They would actually be bored working in the same business for decades. There are other individuals where once they have their passion, their area of gifting, like John Johnson, like Truett Cathy of Chick-fil-A, they stick with it. And it becomes a family-owned business that's passed on for generations. So it really depends on the individual, and that depends on your calling, your purpose. So I encourage all of your listeners to really be discerning in terms of your purpose and what you would like your legacy to be, and then work towards that. You may be in a business where, to facilitate your purpose and your legacy, the best thing that you can do is get the business started and someone else will facilitate and grow it. For others, it's meant for you to live with that business. So it really is critical, this whole notion, Tim, around passion and around purpose, because that will determine your plan. That will determine your succession plan for your business. And you're right, for the first time in American history, we have four generations working side by side in the workplace. So there's a myriad of topics and fodder for HR professionals, you know, for decades just as a result of that. Every generation is different, has their own priorities, and then each individual is different. So I encourage your listeners to be prayerful, be discerning around your purpose and how your business will help facilitate it. Again, we spend too much time at work, particularly in the Western world, not to enjoy it, not to feel fulfilled, and not to be edifying others in the process.
Wow. So give us some ways of having a exit strategy. Before you answer that real quick, have a listener on hold. If you want to ask any questions, just press 1 to indicate that you have a question. Again, if you have any questions, call it 347-324-3460. And if you do have a question, just go ahead and press 1, and that indicates you have a question, and I'll put you on the air. Okay, ways that we can talk about as a succession plan, what the options that you have. You can go public, you can do this and do that and sell it and so forth. Kind of give us some tools and some options, the ways that we can get out of our business.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And that's given the desire to get out of the business. Again, for many of your listeners, they may want to immerse themselves in the business, and that may be their calling. That's part of their purpose, where there's, you know, their exit strategy, so to speak, is to make sure that they are exiting from certain markets and entering new markets, expanding the business. So you can define your exit strategy based on the needs of your business, but typical exit strategies are, one, starting a business to sell it. And typically, if you sell it in terms of the public platform, that's an IPO, which stands for initial public offering, when you plan to offer stock for the company. Another exit strategy is simply to exit the business as the owner or operator or CEO yourself, but then simply leave it to a family member. So it's, in a sense, staying within the realm of the family. It's staying privately owned, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
From another standpoint, I discussed this on, in terms of the spiritual aspects. You know, you have the conventional side of the exit strategy. And then I encourage the readers and the listeners to think of exit strategies in terms of, one, there's a quote that your donation is more important than your duration. And what I mean by that, Tim, is that before you exit one business and move to another, or one market and move to another, or even one industry, make sure that your previous team has somehow been more edified as a result of your leadership. So, again, the whole notion is to take business planning to a higher level. Let's take the exit strategy to a higher level. And so that's one point that I reinforce. The second point is, don't just go to the next level, but grow to the next level. In our society, we're so apt to want to go to the next level, but make sure that you are growing. Make sure that you are ready for that multi-million dollar account when it comes. So oftentimes that means remaining in a season that for you it may seem like a long time, but God's plan is sovereign. He understands the demographic trends that will take place and some of the market trends that will take place. So make sure that you are actually growing with the process. And then lastly, I encourage everyone to ensure that your history is actually a part of his story. Again, particularly for those of us who are believers, your history, your legacy with your business, if you profess to be a believer, then it's connected to him. So it's actually part of his story. Long after we all are gone, some of our businesses will still live on. And you want the business to have a legacy of divine business planning, of wise financial governance, of prosperity.
Mm-hmm.
So again, that's just a little bit around the conventional exit strategies as well as some of the spiritual implications and ramifications of exit strategies.
Wow. I have a question right here, which I'm just going to read.
Okay.
Having a Christian business, does that also mean I have to tithe?
I would say absolutely. If you profess to be a Christian, then we as Christians follow biblical principles, and I talk about that in the chapter on the Divine Financial Plan, and it does include tithing. Absolutely.
Now, you know, this is a kind of twofold question. I guess whoever wrote this is twofold, because does that mean that you do that as a business owner, or you do this as a business entity?
Good question. I discussed that also. Typically, you tithe off of the growth of the business entity overall. That's if you are, say, a sole proprietor. Now, if you actually take a salary, if you have a corporation and you are, for all intents and purposes, an employee, then you would also tithe off of your salary.
Okay,
excellent
point.
Okay,
so you tithe off your salary.
Mm-hmm. If you are an employee.
If you're an employee of the business.
Yes, right. But if you're a sole proprietor and for all intents and purposes, you are the business, you are the brand, then you tithe off of the entity.
Okay.
If you're
income.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But as a corporation, you're taking a salary, then that's totally different. You're taking it off of your salary.
Off your salary, and also off of the entity, too, if you are the owner. The key point is whether or not you're taking a salary. You always tithe off the business if you are a Christian business owner. That's a given.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to tithe off that entity. If you're also taking a salary, then you as the individual will tithe off that salary as well.
Now, question real quick. Now, for example, if you're 100% stockholder, it's not a major problem. If you're 51%, you know, you still have the voting call. But when you get under 40, 50%, then becomes a question, can you really say that you can really tie to anything? Now you're not the majority owner.
Mm-hmm. Right. If you're not the owner, then it may be a challenge. Yeah. And so I'm describing a situation where you are the owner.
Yeah, I'm just thinking outside
mm-hmm.
the box,
right.
Just in case I'm answering all her questions. So I was thinking, okay, if you own 50-50, then it's a compromise. If you own 49%, then you're going to have to really convince the 51% to agree with that, because now you're not the majority owner. Even though you get a salary, that's easy.
Right, and you're hinting on a very critical point, Tim, and I discussed this too, is the whole notion of equally yoked partnerships. Oftentimes we talk about being equally yoked in terms of a marriage partnership, but it's so critical that if you form a strategic alliance, a partnership with another individual, again, we as believers must ensure that those people are like-minded individuals so that what you're describing will not even be an issue. They will have an appreciation of the fact that, you know, we are stewards over God's businesses. This business does not belong to us. It's God's. So, yes, of course we should tithe. So I encourage your listeners to be very prayerful, be very discerning regarding the individuals to whom you decide to enter into a strategic alliance. And I go through some of the things to look for in the book, some of the characteristics to look for in a potential partner for your business. So critical.
Should you marry a non-Christian person to a Christian person within the Christian business? You know, that's like unequally yoked,
mm-hmm.
as you just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
But however, this person has the skill set that you really need, and you can't find or have the time to find that other Christian person in order to make this complete.
Then I would highly encourage that individual to make the time to find the right partner. I would highly encourage that person to go into prayer because God can bring that partner to that person. I would say take the time. Again, it's rushing into situations that causes us to see the Enrons of the world, the Tycos, the WorldCom rushing or being focused on greed. So take the time, take a step back, and then follow God.
Wow. So that'd be like mine. So Christian to Christian, not Christian to Muslim, Mormon, and so nothing picking on them. Mm-hmm. If you're Mormon, get another Mormon.
No, yeah,
if you're Christian, get another Christian, so that you have the same mindset.
Right.
Okay.
Yes, so that you don't have those issues around whether or not you tithe or is this marketing strategy offensive to a certain group of people. You are like-minded in terms of at the end of the day, your business plan is entrenched in following the Bible, biblical principles. So at the end of the day, you both agree on the Bible. And you can go back to the Bible and say, what does the Bible say about this? Nothing against the other religions, the other denominations at all, but I encourage individuals to be very, very discerning in terms of who they enter into partnerships with.
Wow. It's like marriages.
Yeah, they are. They absolutely are. You spend more time with your business partners sometimes than you do
your
spouse.
Marriage, yeah.
Right. They are. They're the other spouse.
Take us down the line when it comes to the business plan. It's different ways. Like, for example, financial institutions want to see a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
Investors want to see a certain way. The public wants to see a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
You need to really customize the business plan to who is going to be reading it. And is there a guideline? You know, for example, a banker don't want two pages. They want a paragraph to say,
mm-hmm.
get to the point. They want financials. They want assets and so forth. And investors want to look at the whole picture because they want to look at
right.
all the meat and potatoes and stuff like that. Wall
right.
Street wants to look at if it's less than 100 pages, they don't want to read it because there's
right.
nothing substantial that
right.
legally that they need to. They want to see the whole telephone book, and they're going to read
That's
it.
That's true.
Is
That's
there
so
any
true.
Particular way when you do your business plan that when you do your step-by-step,
mm-hmm.
how you should focus and craft that plan that will connect to your biblical principles? Does that make sense?
That's an excellent question, Tim. And I would encourage the listeners to first craft a business plan that works for you. So
mm-hmm.
factor out all of those other entities, Wall Street and the venture capitalists and the financial institutions. Just begin with what is it that you're trying to accomplish, and more importantly, what is God trying to accomplish? Because at the end of the day, we are stewards over his businesses. So again, I encourage the listeners to be discerning, be prayerful, and then begin to develop a plan that works for you so that you as an individual, you as a business owner, are solid and firmly entrenched in terms of the business entity and operations yourself. So start from that point. And it may be handwritten. The plan may be handwritten. It may be typed. You do what works for you. But make sure that you have a comprehensive document that makes sense to you. Because before you can adequately and effectively explain it to an outside source, you have to understand it. You have to feel comfortable and confident in it. So I would say first, focus on what you need in terms of the elements of the business plan and designing and crafting one that works for you. Then, once you've developed a solid, comprehensive business plan, then you can slice and dice, so to speak, and tailor it and customize it for your external audiences, whether it's a venture capitalist who wants maybe a 2 to 3 page executive summary for now, or a financial institution that wants every single page, you know, a 100, 150 page document. So again, the key is design it for you to make sure that you understand the holistic approach of the business, and then secondarily, use that document and tailor it to meet the needs of your external audiences. Make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Good. That's a good question, because so many people try to tailor it to the audiences before they really just live with the document themselves, Jim, and make sure that it makes sense for them.
And you should choose, since it's a living, breathing document, should you adapt to the change?
Yes. I talk about this, too, in the book, is remaining flexible to the seasons that God brings us through. Again, we serve the creator of the universe, so he knows about those demographic shifts, those economic trends, the cultural shifts that are coming that we don't have a clue of. We don't have a clue about today, but he knows that they're coming, and he knows how they will impact your business. So, again, it's important for us to be discerning, because he will reveal changes that need to be made, and they may not even make sense to us at the time. So I encourage the listeners to be flexible with the seasons that he takes you through in life and in business. Again, he's sovereign, even if it doesn't make sense. Though I remember from a personal standpoint, I felt led to put my house on the market in 2007, and this was before the market really got bad, and I couldn't imagine why. You know, my plan was to stay in that house in Atlanta for 2 years while I worked on the book, you know, and I could not shake the feeling. Well, who knew that the market was going to crash, you know, just a few months later? So I used that as an example of, and I went ahead and put the house on the market, not even understanding why. So I use that as an example to encourage your listeners that even if it doesn't make sense to you, be obedient and follow him.
How did you listen to yourself? You know, a lot of people get distracted in life, and you know that you know what you know, but you sometimes don't listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
How can you distract knowing that you should be listening to what you need to be listening to? If that makes sense?
Mm-hmm. It does.
That you knew that you needed to sell that house now, that nothing, you know, so it's not like you're hearing voices.
No.
But it just popped in your mind, and you had the sense of doing that. Is living within your senses then versus living with your mind?
Right. That's an excellent observation. I talk about this a lot in the chapter on the divine operations plan, because I believe that the way we operate in business and the way we behave as individuals all starts with our mind. And I talk about the importance of us using quality control measures for our mind. And King David in the Bible was an excellent example of that, where he said he would put nothing negative, essentially, you know, in front of him. And so he used quality control measures for his mind. And I encourage the listeners to do that as well. So in order to really hear from God, you have to turn off the noise. You have to make sure that you have your quiet time, your devotional time, where you're entrenched in the Word of God, or you're entrenched in positive aspects in terms of reading. So you turn off the noise. Sometimes it actually means separating from certain individuals. If you're on a path, a purpose, a calling, and you're a business leader and you know that your business is linked to your legacy, you need to be surrounding yourself with people who are supportive, who are positive, who are wise, And oftentimes, that's maybe one or two people. It doesn't have to be a crowd. So these are examples of ways of taking quality control measures to make sure that you can hear from God. It means turning off the TV. It means not checking your smartphone or your BlackBerry every 5 seconds. It means, you know, taking a break from email for a few hours so that you can be centered. And it's difficult at times. I mean, in our society, the way technology is and information is so readily available, but we have to be intentional. We have to take a concerted effort and say, at the end of the day, this is critical. I have to hear from God. And in order for me to hear from God, I have to take these quality control measures. And I go through a list of them in the book. But that will help. And that, I know that helps me personally in terms of really hearing from him and being discerning.
Okay. Before we read a passage of the book real quick, any works of a new book coming out?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the last part. Any
works of a new book?
Of a new book? Yeah, I've been praying about that. Actually, Revelations in Business was just launched after I've worked on it for 8 years. It was just launched 3 weeks ago. It's on my publisher's website. It's available today through revelationsinbusiness.com. And that takes you to my website, Stewart Consulting LLC, and there's a link at the top that you can click on to actually get the book. So Revelations in Business is very new, and the worldwide release date is May the 15th, and that's when your listeners will be able to access it on Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com and a number of other of ways as well in terms of retailers. So I do have some ideas about future books, but I'm just, again, waiting on God. I'm waiting on following his lead. And right now, he has me focused on this endeavor.
Wow. Anything you'd like to, before we give you, I think, last words to say about your book, I guess tell us about how can we contact you. And then
sure.
If you can read something, a passage from your book that speaks to you, then we'll close out with your last comments.
Sure, I appreciate that. Again, Revelations in Business is available today, and you can get it by logging on to revelationsinbusiness.com, and that'll take you to my website, which is stewartconsultingllc.org, and there's a link at the top. Also, you can actually get the book on my publisher's website, which is Tate, T-A-T-E, Publishing. If you Google that and just put in Revelations in Business for the title of the book, then it goes straight to my book and all the information is there. And if you have any problems, I would invite your listeners to reach out to me. They can email me through my website, and that's Shelette, S-H-E-L-E-T-T-E, at Stewart, S-T-E-W-A-R-T, Consulting, LLC. org. That's Shelette at stewartconsultingllc.org. Again, the book is available today through Tate Publishing and through revelationsinbusiness.com, and then worldwide release date is May the 15th, where it's broadly available.
Great. And lastly, I guess, read a passage from the book, if you don't mind.
Sure, I'd be happy to. And you'd mentioned earlier, Tim, about a scripture. And I think one of the best foundational scriptures for revelations in business comes from Proverbs. It's Proverbs 29:18, and it's where there is no revelation, the people perish.
Wow.
I also really appreciate Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. For me personally, those are the two foundational principles for which Revelation or on which Revelations in Business, the book stands. The introduction probably is the best way to really position the book in terms of your listeners who may be new to the platform. And by the way, I was so blessed to get a number of endorsements from business leaders. 14 business, academic, and ministry leaders have already endorsed the book, and it's been such a blessing. Dan Cathy, who's the president of Chick-fil-A, has endorsed it. If your listeners are familiar with Auntie Anne's Pretzels in the malls and in the airports, Ann Byler has endorsed it. So I've been so, so very blessed. But here's the introduction to Revelations in Business. Business people don't plan to fail. They simply fail to follow God's plan. There are many books that teach us how to succeed in business. And there are many books that teach us how to apply the Word of God to our lives. What if there was a book that combined the two? Revelations in Business, Connecting Your Business Plan with God's Purpose and Plan for Your Life, is that book.
Wow. Well, this has been a great opportunity. I really appreciate the time that you spent with us. And again,
I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Again, the website is revelationsinbusiness.com. Revelationsinbusiness.com, and that takes you to Stewart Consulting LLC. So if you see Stewart Consulting LLC, you are still in the right place. Just look for the link at the top of the website. My webmaster is actually working on the book website currently. But thank you for the opportunity, Tim, and I'd like to congratulate you and commend you on the excellent platform that you have in place to support business owners and operators. Again, most small businesses fail, so I commend you for having a platform and vehicle in place to really support those individuals out there. So thank you for the service that you bring to the world.
Great. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you again. I appreciate you listening. And again, you can download this episode on iTunes or Blog Talk Radio or blog.applecapitalgroup. Thank you for listening to the program, and have a great day. Thank you, Shalaya.
Thank you, Tim.
Take care.
Thanks. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. For more information about equipment financing and asset-based loans, visit our website, applecapitalgroup.com. That's applecapitalgroup.com. Or call us at 866-611-7457. We hope you'll join us for our next episode. And remember, you can always get to the Core via iTunes. You'll find all our previous episodes there. And thanks again for listening to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet.